You know, I'm so grateful that we live in Australia, that I live in Australia. I wake up every morning and I just think, you know, how incredible it is. Such a place of freedom, of prosperity, wild extremes. Jump in and help each other. Yeah. Not take ourselves too seriously. I'm so grateful. And I'm getting the guys to put a photo up in the midst of the bushfire crisis. I follow the land on Facebook, being a country girl, and this photo came up. And I just thought, you know what, this is just typical us, yeah? It's like in the midst of this terrible crisis, somebody still found something to laugh about. So I absolutely love that. Yet, I think we would all agree and recognise that as wonderful and as blessed as Australia is, that there are places of brokenness in our borders. Brokenness that stems from injustice, drought, fire, fear, abuse. Brokenness that comes from a nation that has not walked in the ways of God. We have rising rates of anxiety, fear, and mental health issues. We have increasing disparity between rich and poor. We have clear agendas of the enemy in the narrative of our media and education systems. And whether you adhere to climate change or not, the truth is that our stewardship of the world that God has entrusted us with could use some change and improvement. And despite great technological connection, we are increasingly disconnected and alone. And you know, there's political turmoil and upheaval in nation after nation that could affect us as a nation. So if you hear nothing else today, hear this. God does not tremble. God does not tremble. He does not tremble because of Iran, the United States, North Korea, China, or Russia. He does not tremble because of the stock market or the climate. He does not tremble because of the project, the ABC, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. He does not tremble. He has no fear, anxiety, uncertainty, or sense of being overwhelmed. He is never defeated, ever. And these emotions and qualities are confined to the realm of humanity and a world that is broken by sin. And these are also found in the realm of the enemy. The enemy fears. He knows what is ahead of him. He is uncertain. Where will God move? What will prayer set in motion or undo that he has done? Who will take authority over him and his plan? He is uncertain. He is both overwhelmed and defeated by the power, mastery, and majesty of Christ completely. And so he projects into this world that which is from his realm. And for those of us who have moved kingdoms, we are never meant to operate under the conditions of this world. We are in the world, but not of it. And as we gather here on Australia Day, I feel that God wants to speak a word to us that is full of hope if we will hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking. And I feel that this is a word to us individually, but I feel that it is one that we need to carry on behalf of our nation. As a children's pastor, I frequently remind our team that we have to carry for our children what they are not yet able to carry for themselves. So I want you to think about this like a backpack. You know, our kids have a backpack, and the contents of this backpack belong to Amelia, my granddaughter. So it's all hers, but it's too heavy for her to carry yet. And so I would carry it on her behalf. And spiritually, I feel that as a church and as the church, it's time for us to step up and to carry some stuff on behalf of our nation. It's theirs. God has decreed it. God has made a way for it to be possible, but they can't carry it yet because they don't hold it the same way that we do. And as we embrace the truth that God wants to speak into our lives today, I think that we need to really allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us individually as well. So can we pray this morning? Father, these are just words on a page unless you breathe on them. So Holy Spirit, come, breathe, move, do whatever you want to do and say whatever you want to say, because my heart is open. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to read to you today from Isaiah chapter 52, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 11. And it says this, wake up, O Zion, and clothe yourself in strength. Put on your beautiful robes, put on your beautiful clothes, O holy city of Jerusalem, for unclean and godless people will enter your gates no longer. Rise from the dust, O Jerusalem. Sit in a place of honor. Remove the chains of slavery from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Long ago, my people chose to live in Egypt. Now they are oppressed by Assyria. What is this, says the Lord, asks the Lord. Why are my people enslaved again? Those who rule them shout in exultation. My name is blasphemed all day long, but I will reveal my name to my people, and they will come to know its power. And then at last they will recognize that I am the one who speaks to them. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messengers who bring good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns. The watchmen shout and sing with joy before their very eyes, for they see the Lord returning to Jerusalem. Let the ruins of Jerusalem break into joyful song, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has demonstrated his holy power before the eyes of all the nations. All the ends of the earth will see the victory of our God. Get out and leave your captivity where everything you touch is unclean. Get out of there and purify yourselves, you who carry home the sacred objects of the Lord. Wake up. Wake up. Do you hear the Spirit speaking? God is coming and he is moving. He is coming to this nation and to us as never before. I really believe this. He is calling us to wake up and to rise up spiritually and call our nation to wake up and to rise up into new life. And I believe there are three truths that God wants us to embrace for ourselves and for our nations, for our nation today. And the first is this, that we must walk in personal freedom. The word says, clothe yourself with strength. Put on your beautiful clothes, O holy city of Jerusalem, for the unclean and godless people will enter your gates no longer. Rise up from the dust. Sit in the place of honor. Remove the chains of slavery from your neck. God is calling us to walk in the freedom and beauty and honor that is ours through Jesus. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are seated in heavenly realms. We are adopted by the King of Kings. We are chosen, loved, and redeemed. We are sinless in the sight of God through the blood of Jesus. We are ransomed and born again. Every spiritual blessing is ours, and all of God's promises are yes and amen. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are set free. We are set free, completely and utterly free. And yet so often spiritually, we sit in the dust and we feel chained in areas of our lives. So what are the old grounds of defeat that you and I are continually walking in? It's time to wake up and to clothe ourselves in strength and to dress in beauty and to sit in places of honor and remove the chains of slavery from our lives. You know, one of the great frustrations of my life is how long so often I have lived in the false bondage of the lies of the enemy. And it's what I call hologram prisons. Hologram prisons. They seem so real. They seem impossible to break through. In fact, there's been so many times when I felt completely paralyzed and unable to do anything. And yet, every time that I take just one step of faith to break free, I find the walls of that impossible prison just start to crumble. Yeah. My mum used to say, nothing changes until something changes. Think about that. Nothing changes until something changes. And so often we stay in the place of bondage because we won't change anything in our lives. We won't change our thinking, we won't change our confession, and we won't change our actions. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Long ago, my people chose to live in Egypt, and now they are oppressed by Assyria. We choose to live in Egypt. We are oppressed by the choices we make. Maybe 12 years ago, I hurt the sacroiliac joint in my hip and damaged one of the tendons attaching one of the muscles. This is a really small joint if you look at it on an x-ray, but the damage meant that sitting down on anything too soft or too hard or lying on my back or lying on my left side were very painful. Let's face it, I practically became Goldilocks. It had to be just right, people. I ignored it for a little while, hoping it would just get better. But it didn't. So I did a bit of physio and finally had a cortisone injection, but with little change. So I went back to just living with it. Until 2 years ago, when I couldn't live with it anymore. Ask Sonia about the noise of my hip walking down the hallway. I wasn't sleeping. I couldn't sit for any length of time without pain. I couldn't drive in the car. It affected every part of my life. So I had to do something. And so I needed a series of injections into the tendon, which was fun. Another cortisone injection into the joint, equally fun. And I've had to do lots of strengthening exercises. And when I began, some of them I couldn't even do. I just didn't have the muscle strength to complete the exercise. So 2 years on, I can complete all of those exercises, but it's still hard. And even if I miss doing them for a week, I notice the weakness that returns. Do you know what that's a testimony of? Why? God going, why? Why did you just live with that? Why? And 2 years of, gosh, that's going to take a long time to fix that. And you know, when we allow bondage in our lives spiritually, whether that's emotional insecurity, addiction, fear, or anything else, and we just live with it, because it's not changing straight away, we will eventually find ourselves in the place where it is going to take us significant time to see the truth transform our walk with God. And we're really going to have to work at it. You know, God could have miraculously healed me. He could have done it in an instant. And part of me was like, just fix it, God. But he chose to let me learn some lessons about faith, work, bondage, and choice. And like God's people who had to walk from a place of slavery in Egypt to the place of promise, we also have to walk out our salvation. And we have to claim the promises that are ours, confess the truth of the word, and believe that God is good and that his plan for me is good. And I know that if I am ruthlessly honest with you today, that I stay in places of bondage because of childishness. I want someone to comfort me. I want them to look after me. I want them to do the work for me. You know, it's like your little kids. You go put your shoes on. You do it. You can do it. You do it for me. And I feel like God's like that with me. He's just looking at me in exasperation, going, you can do it. And I'm going, you do it. And I know that that's part of me. The other reason that I stay in bondage is because of pride and just willful disobedience to the word. How many times have I rerun an injustice in my head and chosen not to acknowledge my part in the problem or forgive? I do that. Or I stay in bondage because of insecurity. Because I won't believe that what God says about me is true. I can't believe it. And so I go, I'm just. And if you can show me anywhere in the Bible, where God says, well, Susan, you're just. Sorry. You're a child of God, but, you know, you're just a little bit less than everybody else. If you can show me that, then I can stay walking in my insecurity. You know, Israel chose to live in Egypt and a whole nation became enslaved. Have you ever wondered how that happened? When they outnumbered the Egyptians and the Egyptians were Egyptian leadership was scared of them? Ever wondered that? That's a whole conversation. But it's worth thinking about. And here's the thing. The leadership was scared of them. And the enemy's scared of you. You know, it took one man to stand up and believe the power of God to set a nation free. And as we stand up, we can start to see freedom not only for ourselves, but for others around us. Our bondage brings no glory to God. Our freedom, however, brings such a contrast to the darkness of the enemy that it can change the course of the lives of many. So can you hear the Spirit saying this morning, why are you enslaved? It's time to rise up and be free. He's saying, I will reveal my name to my people and they will come to know its power, and then at last they will recognize that I am the one who speaks to them. God is not hiding from us. He wants you and me and our nation to live in freedom, unbound by fear, anxiety, uncertainty and defeat. Can you hear him today? Would you determine in your heart, Father, set me free. I choose to get up out of the dust. I choose to sit in the places of honor that are mine through Jesus. I choose today to remove the chains of bondage from my life. Reveal your name to me. Let me know its power. Don't start this new year and this new decade with the same struggles, the same pain, and the same brokenness. It's time for new. And we are a people who are free. And we need to be people who are so free that there is a whole nation is going, I want that.
That's right.
And we need to be a people who can pray and prophesy that freedom over our nation. The second thing is that we need to carry God's presence with purity. You know, if there's one thing our nation hates, it's a hypocrite. People who call themselves Christian and yet live as far from what even the world would consider holy. You know, the word says, it says, get out and leave your captivity where everything you touch is unclean. Get out of there and purify yourselves, you who carry the home, the sacred objects of the Lord. You know, and these are some of the words that I want people use to describe me. Kind, loving, gentle, compassionate, loyal, faithful, pure, strong, steady, faith-filled, generous, thankful, positive, joyful, and anointed. Although that's a real Christian word, so maybe just when she prays, stuff really happens. We need purity for our own life, so we're not ashamed and condemned in our own conscience. And we need purity for the sake of our nation. They need to see a radiant church, washed, clean, and beautiful. We carry the sacred objects of the Lord, his presence, his power, his word, and his ways. And so let's carry it with beauty, yeah? And finally, we need to find our shout again. It says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news of God, that the God of Israel reigns. The watchmen shout and sing with joy before their very eyes. They see the Lord returning to Jerusalem. Let the ruins of Jerusalem break into joyful song, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has demonstrated his holy power before the eyes of all the nations, and all the earth, ends of the earth will see the victory of our God. For many of us, shouting is uncomfortable. Being loud is uncomfortable. And we find those who do shout or get loud uncomfortable. It's just awkward. A shout is passionate, yeah. And it's resonant. There's no missing a shout. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, it says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold, invigorating and refreshing, nor hot, healing and therapeutic. I wish that you were cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm, spiritually useless, ouch, neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth, rejecting you with disgust. I had a problem with this. So I questioned God about this. It just seems so harsh. And God showed me this. Now, I love coffee. I really like coffee. I like my coffee hot, or I like an iced coffee. A coffee that's been sitting out for a little while and is slightly lukewarm. And that's the thing. I can be overwhelmed and I can be underwhelmed, but there is nobody that wants to be just whelmed. Least of all God. He doesn't want to be just whelmed. And you know what? The Holy Spirit said to me that a lukewarm life is a reflection of a life that's silenced by the enemy. There are things in my life that the enemy will never silence from my mouth. In fact, he's going to be happy for them to be loud, repeated, and defining of who I am. Criticism of believers, disbelief, self-righteous judgment, negativity, gossip, self-doubt, rejection and unforgiveness. That list could go on and on and on. He likes those ones. He'll let you be loud and long. But he will always seek to silence the shout of praise and passion and faith. Always. And here are his favorite silences. Reasonable. Sensible. Acceptable. Appropriate. Comfortable, safe, introvert, embarrassing, extreme, radical, fanatical, excessive, cult, irreverent, disrespectful, weird, young, old, attention-seeking, uncool, old school. You know, those are the words that he gives us to use. But these are the words that he uses. Confined, contained, controlled. See the context? Wow. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. Yeah. The good news of peace and salvation. The news that the God of Israel reigns. The watchmen shout and sing with joy. For before their very eyes, they see the Lord returning to Jerusalem. It's the good news that causes a shout. It's the power of God that rings out in celebration. It's the Spirit calling our hearts. Let a shout rise within you, a shout of praise, a shout of victory, a shout that is uncontained, a shout that declares the good news and sees the nations change and the victory of God demonstrated. God is saying, get loud, unashamedly loud. Like blind Bartimaeus, like the children of Israel at the walls of Jericho. Psalm chapter 3, verse 3 to 4, it says, but you, God, shield me on all sides. You ground my feet. You lift my head high. With all my might, I shout up to God. His answers thunder from the holy mountain. Psalm 8, verse 2, nursing infants gurgle choruses about you. Toddlers shout the songs that drown out enemy talk and silence atheist babble. Psalm 20, verse 5, may we shout for joy when we hear of your victory and raise a victory banner in the name of our God. Psalm 22, here's the story I'll tell my friends when they come to worship and punctuate it with hallelujahs. Shout hallelujah, you God worshippers. Give glory, you sons of Jacob. Adore him, you daughters of Israel. Psalm 29, God's mighty voice makes the deer to give birth. His thunderbolt voice lays the forest bare. And in his temple, all four before him, each one shouting, glory, glory. Glory, the God of glory. Psalm 33. It is time to sing and shout for joy. Go ahead, all you redeemed ones, do it. Praise him with all you have, for praise looks lovely on the lips of God's lovers. Psalm 33, verse 3. Compose new melodies and that release new praises to God. Play his praises on instruments with the anointing and skill he gives you. Sing and shout with passion. Make a spectacular sound of joy. Make a spectacular sound of joy. You know what? It's time to not shout politely. And it's time not to clap for the appropriate length of time. It's time to get loud, because I believe there is untold victory and breakthrough that be released in our lives and for our nation as we find our shout of praise, a shout that is confident that the victory is ours in Jesus, a shout that declares the good news. Let's walk in freedom, and let's carry God's presence with purity, and let's find our shout again. God is moving. Let's carry this hope and speak this life over our nation, our family, our friends, our neighbours, our workmates, and generations to come. This is a new year, and this is a new decade, and this is Australia Day. May it be filled with new freedom, new life, new strength, new joy, new revelation, new hope, new power, and new anointing. God's decree, I will reveal my name to my people, and they will come to know its power. Then at last, they will recognize that I am the one who speaks to them. Amen.